This same understanding among the disciples invites further teaching from Jesus. And Jesus begins by telling them that if they want to be first, they must be last of all and servant of all. That was as reversed in their world as it is in ours. And it's probably why they had a hard time understanding it. They were thinking Jesus was still going to go in and take over Jerusalem and sit as king, right? But Jesus didn't have that in his plan at all, did he? Jesus was never in his mind going to do that. It was reversed in their world as it is in ours. Greatness, says Jesus, is measured by what you do for others, not by achieving a superior position in life where service is received from others. So greatness, in Jesus' mind, is literally reversed from what we think of in this world, isn't it? I mean, from the time we're out of college, most of us try to get to a position where we might have a few servants of our own, don't we? Oh, come on now, be honest. Right? But Jesus says that's not greatness at all. Greatness is whenever you are the servant to others. Then Jesus has a picture lesson for them, and he set a child among them. Now, before we can understand this picture lesson, I need to talk a little bit about the background. And many of you have heard me talk about this before, so you might hear something that maybe you didn't hear the first time. But if you can just picture in your mind the hustle and bustle of a multi-generation house. I mean, there was for sure two generations, maybe even three generations, living in these homes in Jesus' day. Now, children were probably irritating the disciples. Can you imagine that? You know, in my day, I don't know if we have screen doors anymore, but I can't count how many times I heard from mom or dad, "Eric Dirks, if that screen door slams closed one more time..." How many have heard that? Yeah. Yeah. Well, that same irritation was happening to the disciples. And, well, I'm just thinking, in a multi-generational house, that is probably the case. That's what's going on. I don't want you to think that's in the Bible or anything. I'm just kind of pulling all these things together. And they're probably screaming and running around. And I doubt they were saying, "Sorry, sir," "Sorry, ma'am," "Excuse me, sir," right? So, and Jesus, all this time, was trying to teach his closest friends, his disciples. Now, in the Greco-Roman world, as it was in the Jewish world, children were thought of as unbridled bits of chaos. They were not considered naive. They were not considered innocent, sweet, and trusting, as we might think of them today, sometimes. Ancients regarded children as terrible nuisances who were to be disciplined and tolerated so that they could become useful, reasonable, God bless you, adults. It takes some children longer. God bless you. God bless you. So, all right, back with me. Always got to be the center of attention, don't you? Yeah. That's your hero. So they were disciplined and tolerated until they could become like you and me, essentially, right? Reasonable adults, right? Yeah. They had no status. They possessed no power. They had no position. And they definitely had no place in a circle with a great teacher like Jesus and his number ones, his disciples. However, Jesus does something only Jesus can demonstrate. And I just want to further this just a little bit. You can picture these kids running in and out of the house, right? And the disciples are here, huddled together, you know, and they're really concentrating, trying to understand this man and his teaching. And all of a sudden, Jesus kind of maybe stands up or sits up, and he grabs this child that's running by and pulls him in. Can you see Jesus doing that?